You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is AfterBuzz TV for Glee. Tonight's host is Paul Ashton. Joining Paul will be AfterBuzz co-host Elizabeth Kiernan. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip about Glee. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 347-855-8269. That's 347-855-8269. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Paul Ashton!
Thank you very much, Rich, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen and gleeks out there, to AfterBuzz TV for Glee Season 2, Episode 14, titled Blame It on the Alcohol. I'm here in the studio with my dear friend Elizabeth Kiernan. Just the two of us tonight. Catherine and Ashanti are under the weather. The bugs are going around, and I'm sure they'll be devoed that they're not here, because this was, to me, a top three Glee episode ever, seasons one and two. Do you agree with me, Elizabeth?
Yes, I thought it was amazing. I was so happy because I had been a little bit disappointed with some of the episodes in the second season.
Right.
This one,
it really kicked
great.
Goals, right?
Yeah.
They were firing on all cylinders. We've, of course, got Jesse in the Perspex booth, and now mascot Buzz turned away in disgrace, just enjoying a slumber. But we'll kick on without him, because there's so much to talk about in tonight's episode, which was appropriately titled Blame It on the Alcohol.
I mean, I just want to get into that song. As soon as you said the title, I started laughing to myself, but we can go in progression.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like, it was such a rich episode. Let's talk generally before we go in, like, blow by blow.
They gave it to us right away.
They did. I was saying to you before, it, like, felt to me like one of these really classic. It reminded me a little bit of, like, a 90210 or a Degrassi Junior High episode.
It was also an after-school special. And specifically the part where Rachel pours the, like, white Zinfandel, that, like, the pink wine,
right,
and she calls Blaine and asks something on a date. Literally, the entire scene looked like it was the 80s.
Yeah,
she's, like, laying on the bed, the colors, the comforter, the glass, everything.
Says a lot about Rachel Berry.
But I also think that was really it was like an after-school special, kind of.
It was a reference,
yeah.
I mean, all those shows, those kind of classic teen dramas that, you know, I guess we've had the OC and Gossip Girl since then that will deal with the similar issues, although they seem to be so glossy these days.
They're so, like, high end because they're all rich people. So
yeah,
they're
that's
not,
right.
It's they're
not quite
not
the
really.
Same. But they would always have, like, Degrassi was obviously, like, we used to get that in Australia, and that was real kind of, you know, rough, like, had a real rough high school element. Beverly Hills 90210 is about some, you know, what's a Midwest, like the original one,
right?
Midwestern kids coming into the, so you had both worlds, but they were always, I always remember them dealing with issues, you know, like you set up a lot of the episodes would set up an issue that they're going to deal with this week, and this was like classic like that.
Yeah.
You had, so we had the principal bring Schuster in, you know, into the office, and we've had five suspensions for alcohol drinking.
And he was like, "We have a problem. It's giggle juice.
It's giggle juice." But yeah, talking about the Alco Pops, and I mean, I think that it was really great the way the writers put so much, like, they really did explore the issue on all its merits here. And, like, when we saw the clip last week about this week being about drinking, you know, when you see these clips and everyone's playing Spin the Bottle, and you go, okay, they're going to talk about drinking.
It's just a party.
But it's just a party. It's going to inadvertently glamorize it. But I really thought that they were able to sort of cover it all really well.
Well, I mean, even from the beginning when Figgins was talking to Will, and he said, you know, alcohol is now targeted to kids. That's why we're having such a problem. I mean, that was
incredible. It's so true. I mean, those lemonade, like Alco-Pops, they call them, you know, in Australia. Like, it's like, you
and
can't...
And they keep saying that. I'm like, what is he saying?
Yeah, Alco-Pops. It's like a lollipop, but it's got alcohol in
right?
Exactly.
And
it's liquid. And it's like 8%. And you don't know you're drinking alcohol.
Right.
And so these kids sit in parking lots and get blind, wasted, and spew up and do stupid things.
I think what's so great about the show is it has the opportunity to touch on these topics, but without being preachy, because it doesn't go there.
No.
And it even talks about how it's like, well, we know you're going to do it. And that's what the adult said and the kids said in both of their ways, understanding that we're going to do what we want to do.
That's
so
right.
That's why it's like, well,
education is the message.
I mean, instead of don't doing it, don't, you know.
That's
don't.
Right. That's right. But also like, rather than as I, you know, so sometimes when these teen shows like address these issues, I also think you see everyone get drunk and you suffer the consequences and it's bad, except it somehow it still inadvertently glorifies it. They had the sexy scenes. They had them all getting wasted and semi-naked and dancing to Keisha and all this stuff.
Key dollar sign ha.
Brilliant. There it is. What was so great is that it wasn't just... You didn't just see that. You actually got... Schuster and the adults drinking as well,
mm-hmm.
and you got to frame it from the perspective of this is how the kids are being marketed to.
Yeah,
it's like something that a way that they're being marketed to that's actually responsible here.
Yeah, it was really interesting because even watching it, there were definitely times where I was like, well, they are making this seem really fun. So what are they doing?
Yeah,
which. I mean, is good in the way that kids will never stop drinking.
Well, that's right. That's right. And like, so it layered that all through it. It's
right.
like when they do the Bloody Mary drinks and they do the first was that Acacia song? We'll blame it on
Jamie
on the
Fox.
Alcohol.
That
which
oh
was
my gosh.
Was one wonderful thing. We'll come to it, but just in general. Schuster was like, yeah, guys, I mean, and this is what was so clever. He's like, yeah, guys, it's really great, and I really believe that you're drunk.
Yeah.
Because they were. But
He didn't realize.
But he just said it's great acting. But the problem is that I feel like you're glorifying it, not critiquing it. And then the kids came back with all of these arguments.
Yeah, why it's so great. And
A, it's great. B, you all do it as well.
We see how much fun you're having.
I see Bud commercials every time I watch the NASCAR on Sunday. And all of a sudden, the glorification is placed in a context and a perspective that places the responsibility at the hands of where it belongs.
And this
the
is
adults.
Why I like the writing of this show. And when they do an episode like this that's so well done, and you understand, you hear these kids and you're like, oh, that they're right. And you know it's the writers coming through. But I just think it's done in such a way that
it felt like a genuine voice.
Absolutely.
Like
and a concern that kids want to say when they get scolded or, you know, they're just told by their parents, you're not allowed to do this. And they come home and their parents drink every night.
That's right. I mean, it's mixed messages and there's no way. Anyway, look, we've done our social commentary is brilliant. I'm sure everyone's absolutely riveted out there. Let's start pumping through the show bit by bit and discuss some of the fun bits as well as those important issues. So obviously we set up, Figgins has this problem and he enlists the Glee Club to sing at an assembly.
The Alcohol Awareness Assembly.
And they're going to get Kitty Dukakis to come and have a chat, who I guess is Dukakis' wife, right? The old, what's that, ex-presidential candidate Dukakis from like back in the 90s or something?
Olympia Dukakis went to my college, so she would
that's
come
the
back.
Daughter?
That's the sister. I kind of forget his name.
Anyway, the point is that they're like conservatives, right?
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
So
and then Emma and Will
reconnect. There's like and she asks Will she's dating and he's not, and then Sue has a crack at him and reminds him that he'll probably be an alcoholic soon enough because his life's falling around his ankles like a wet pair of pants.
She was so Sue.
And that was one of the best. That was a fantastic Sue rant, I thought.
Yeah.
So the writing of that little bit was awesome.
I know. I actually wasn't paying attention to see who wrote this episode.
I know. I had exactly the same. I don't know, Jesse, if you can check out who actually was behind writing this episode.
It's really great.
Time and time again, I was impressed. And then, of course, we find Rachel is preparing to write her new song.
Didn't you think the song was going to be great?
I did. I did. I thought it would be mind-blowing. And
of course, she always says things are great, and she's like, I've really got a hit on my hands.
I know. It was brilliant. And then, of course, it was... I mean, it sounded just like a very nice musical theater song.
But you knew even from the beginning, like, I was listening to the words.
Yeah.
And she was, like, talking about her accessories. Yeah. And she's, like, red and yellow. I was like, what's going on
and
here?
And I was just, you just know it's going to take a twist. And then it was about a headband. And I thought that was very clever. I really enjoyed that.
So the writer is Ian Brennan.
Ian Brennan.
He's what, yeah. He's upper level.
Ian's like one of the like main creators. I just met him like a couple of weeks ago. He's become friends with some of my Aussie actress friends.
Tell us about him.
Well, I met him briefly. He was just super nice. He came into, we just like hung out super fast one night. But he's the guy who, at the Globes, with the kind of shoulder length hair, who, like, he's a kind of a kind of co-creator in a way. Like,
yeah,
I think he wrote the original script.
He's attached, yeah.
The original script and somehow handed it. It got handed to Ryan Murphy at a gym. So the story goes, and from there it got picked up. And Murphy recognized it and took it further. And he's now part of it. And he's the one who always writes Sue's rants. Like, he writes Sue's rants specifically. But
so that makes sense that he's the real voice of Sue, because she was so strong.
Because she was really on it
in her
tonight.
Character tonight.
Sometimes it doesn't feel completely authentic,
no.
And you go, I don't feel like the original Sue Ryder wrote that.
Yeah, but that shouldn't happen because it's going through a showrunner, and they're supposed to.
I don't know.
Like, everyone's voices are the same, but no.
How many things does Murphy have going on? I mean, he's also got this new pilot.
But is he the showrunner? I don't even know if he is.
Oh, okay, maybe he's just the creator. Yeah. Anyway, Rachel sings a bad song to Finn. Puck comes in just before that and is like, I know your parents are away. Hold a party, you little, you know, sweet Jewish princess. And after her song doesn't work, she's like, I haven't lived. I haven't even had a drink. That's it. I need to have a party to be more like Joni Mitchell.
And I love that the party was lame.
At first, the party is terrible. And just before we go there, that little section, that segue, where they were all on the phone and texting each other, where the 24-style split screen and went into at 1.4 or even 5.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Me too.
I thought that was superb. I'd like to see more. Like, something like that, I think, could be like a little motif, you know, like a visual style motif that they could do. Because it's so funny, and especially when they're all just like actually 5 feet from each other.
I know. I think, God, it just really got back to the show tonight for me.
Oh, I totally agree.
I know.
God!
I know. You know what? And it was like, it was so much about the Glee Club.
Yeah.
And then,
but not trying to do too much. Not
trying to do a lot in the school.
They weren't trying to, you know, they weren't trying to do too much, like develop one person too much. Oh,
right,
you know.
Like, we didn't go into all the stuff with Emma. She was there, like, she's been a supporting character that.
And they didn't repeat. They didn't repeat narrative like they often do. And, you know, as I said to you afterwards as well, one of the things that I think really helps the writers is when you have an issue focused episode as opposed to a musically, you know, like, obviously, we all think that the Britney Spears episode is one of the greatest ever, if not the, and that really worked. But there are others where you have a theme, like musically themed driven episode,
right?
And they're trying to, you know, pull together things to, you know, like pull to find narrative links in the music or whatever. With this one, I feel like the narrative drove it. The story, it was the story and the characters, and then the music fit around it.
That's what it needs to be every week, because you will always find a song to complement a story. You can find it. You could have replaced all of those songs.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe not blame it on the alcohol, because it was amazing.
But
You know, like
one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. That was classic.
And even, I mean, songs in musicals, they come because there's so much emotion. The only way you can express it is through singing.
Yeah.
So it's not the reverse.
Yeah.
And that's why it hasn't been as strong.
Yeah.
Because it's all been about the music. So they're like, okay, we're going to have two Justin Bieber songs in here. So everyone dress up like Bieber.
Yeah, but just that, even that, when they did Bieber, they didn't make them all Bieber songs. There were other songs, and that, to me, saved the episode. Like last week or whenever it was. I mean, to me, it still worked as an F. It was nowhere near as strong as this, but it was not one that I was disappointed in. Anyway, Rachel's having a party. It totally sucks because she's giving everyone drink tickets, and she's just like a young Barbara Streisand in whatever that movie was. and everyone starts to leave, and then Puck's like, you need to let me break into the cabinet, and everyone gets wasted, and we go into this amazing party montage where, I mean, Heather Morris is like in a bra.
Well, because Finn sits Rachel down because she's getting up on
this
and
is
he breaks, he's like, I'm going to break this down for you since this is your first time drinking.
The type of drunks.
Yeah, there are six kind of drunks.
Specifically girl drunks, right?
Girl, I mean, six kind of girl drunks.
So we started with Santana, right?
Hysterical.
The hysterical drunk.
And that cut to her crying.
And then I love the last bit where she goes, wait, no, kiss me.
And then it goes to angry.
Yeah, and who was that? And that was Diana Agron and...
Quinn and...
Lauren.
Lauren, yep. Quinn and Lauren.
Both abusing Park.
Yeah, both yelling, look what you did to me.
I used to have abs.
Right.
Her whinging about being pregnant, which...
Good. Thank
well,
you for...
there you go.
Let's not glamorize being pregnant in high school.
That's
perfect.
Right. And Diana Agron saying that?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, right? So then we have...
Stripper.
Stripper. Obviously, that's going to be Brittany.
Which was amazing.
And it's so funny.
Especially for you.
Yeah, especially for me. God, she's got a great body and she can move. And Artie was there throwing cash at her like a pimp.
I love that.
He had He didn't do heaps this episode, but when he did, it was quality.
Yeah.
And it was funny.
Yeah. And you know what? His character doesn't really flip-flop. It's always kind of consistent, and I think that's what's so great about it.
I think he's a strong performer, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Then you had Happy. You had
Happy
Mercedes and Tina just giggling.
I love that.
I would have liked to have... I would have liked to have seen Mercedes get involved in the spin the bottle that we're coming up to. And then you have a needy girl, which was Rachel, and Finn palmed her off.
He was pretty blunt.
He was very blunt, but it was kind of... Well, it's new. It's new mean Finn. I mean...
It's so strange, though. But I guess he's just being a fickle boy in high school, and that's pretty clear. But because it's like last week...
He's been
last
mean.
Week the week before. But no, but then he still is like, you know, you can write this song, or I saw what I liked in you. So it's really like he's messing with her mind.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're all...
He likes girls to be in love with him.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And other people maybe were getting more, attention. All sorts of reasons, but you know, people do fickle and do flip flop all the time.
Exactly.
We are all bipolar,
especially in high school.
Yeah, I mean, really,
you don't know what to think.
You just don't know.
Hormones are controlling you.
So anyway, as a response, Rachel kicks up spin the bottle. I have personally some nasty memories. Well, not so nasty. Well, dark memories of spin the bottle. I remember once at probably it wasn't so much a party as a gathering for a friend's birthday when I was in seventh grade. So we're 13.
It's huge then.
It's huge. There were five or six girls there, and there were five or six of us. And it was very well-mannered. There were parents and everything. I, of course, thought it would be really hilarious to go into the pantry and grab a ketchup bottle and come in and go, who wants to play spin the bottle? kind of joking, but kind of not. And it freaked everyone out, all the chicks out. They weren't particularly... I guess,
prudes?
too racy. Maybe they were prudish, but I didn't live that down for many years.
People made fun of you?
Yeah, for a long time. It's amazing. Amazing. You would have thought that I would have been cool, and I was trying to take a, you know, lead the pack, but no, I was ridiculed.
Interesting.
I was ridiculed. Anyway, this
Aww,
look this
he's
was the
crying.
Kind of this was the kind of I'm not crying, guys. I'm not crying.
Oh,
this was the kind of spin the bottle party I wanted to create that day. This is where that was going.
Perhaps ketchup was the first mistake. They were using an empty alcohol bottle.
There was no alcohol. That was the problem.
Right.
Sam, we saw Brit and Sam have a pash off.
Mm-hmm.
Pashing, by the way, people in Australia and England is making out. How did that go? I mean, these are two people with a boyfriend and a girlfriend in the room watching them pash.
Everyone was just drunk and on board.
I would not.
Well, I mean, Santana was still like, those are my lips.
Yeah, yeah. But Artie was just laughing.
Yeah.
I would have thought that he would have been not okay with that.
He's secure in their relationship.
Wow, that's secure. I don't think I'd be. Would you be cool with your boyfriend, Elizabeth, having a pash off with someone at a spin the bottle pash in front of you?
No, I wouldn't.
No way. Mm-mm. Boyfriends and girlfriends don't play spin the bottle, right, Jesse?
Yeah.
I feel like
absolutely not.
Yeah, I feel like Jesse might have had some experience with this.
Yeah.
Then of course Rachel and Blaine have a pash off, and it's fire. fireworks.
Loved it.
And it was really great. There's some it was a lovely performance from both of them. I really believed it.
Yeah.
And he
is gay in real life.
I think
right?
he is. Chris, yeah. So. Whatevs. That went down and Kurt saw it and no one liked it. Then, of course, that leads them to our second song of the night, mm-hmm. which was Don't You Want Me Baby, which is by, Jesse, that classic 80s track.
I know.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
We all know it.
We all know it. We all love it. I just can't remember who it's by.
Me neither.
Do you know? Anyway, Jesse, you'll find them in a sec. But this was great. It was just simple, drunken. And what I loved is that in the background, everyone's just making out.
Yeah.
This was like the first time we just saw all these Glee characters. Like, you wait so long. You wait so long for people to actually kiss in this show. I mean, there's plenty of kissing, but
right.
you know, at the same time, there's always a build. Everyone's just hooking in.
I also buy that this was one of the first times they were all hanging out outside of school.
Yeah.
Which I think was nice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
The Human League.
The Human League. Thank you very much.
Never would have guessed that.
DJ Jess. So they have a bit of spark singing this. I enjoyed that.
I loved seeing Kurt freak out. He's so good.
He's great.
And he's like, okay, yeah, okay, stop.
Yeah, yeah, Chris freaked out. And then Brittany's sitting on Artie's lap, just
with their shirts still open.
But of course, Finn is sober because he was driving.
That was the other thing that I loved.
So they had
that
a
designated
driver.
But he wouldn't even take one drink.
Yeah, very important.
Which is what I would do in high school. If I was driving that night, it was like not even.
That's
one.
How it has to be.
I know.
I wish everyone was like that. Kids listening out there, follow Finn's example. It's absolutely.
I was so glad that they did that. And even though everyone was having fun and getting all up on him, I thought that was incredible.
Yeah, it was very important and very responsible. And I think that any parents and friends committee who have an issue with like this episode can go and shove it up their butts because it was handled so responsibly, and that is a key. Like, because this is the thing. If you just say no, don't do it, no, don't do it, no, don't do it with drinking, sex, anything. You know, Kurt makes that point with his dad later, like, I need to be able to come to you and get advice, even if it is about homosexual sex and you're a heterosexual dad.
Get educated.
I mean, that's a particularly difficult situation. I was kind of nicely handled too. But, you know, like, you don't know. But if rather than be not talking about it, what we've seen here is, it was some glamorization. Kids are going to do that anyway this mm-hmm. Saturday night. They're going to do it. What you did see was the character of Finn, highly respected, highly loved and sought after by kids, setting a damn good example amongst it, actually amongst it,
right.
in context.
And he wasn't like, oh, man, I wish I wasn't, you know. It was like, nah, I'm driving, you know, I'm
this
driving
This is what
tonight.
I'm doing, and
That's
it's strong
it.
And important and, you know, gives it value. So
I'm still here. I'll still have fun.
Yeah, and then, of course, Quinn didn't have a good time because Sam was off snogging Santana.
She didn't really talk about it as much. I mean,
no, she had a quiet ep, yeah. Quiet
but there
ep.
Would have been more drama, just in general.
Yeah.
I think in real life.
Yeah, so yeah.
I guess they were just like, oh, there's too much going on this episode. Let's.
Everyone really does just flip and flop with where they put their lips, don't they?
Yeah.
Don't read into that too much. Anyway, so then everyone has a massive hangover that lasts for 3 days.
What I couldn't believe is that there was such a problem with people coming drunk to school.
Like, I know.
That is such a... I mean, in my school, I guess some people maybe did it, but
I certainly know the kids have, like, smoked
that.
Doobies and got stoned at school. That's uh-huh. definitely happened a lot. I think some of the bad boys in my school might have done a little bit of drinking, but, you know, I think probably in certain schools and...
Maybe if there's so many kids... My school was really
huge
small.
Huge kids, like,
so.
And look, like, you know, and in, you know... more challenging socioeconomic districts and schools that have less funding mm-hmm. in rougher areas. And I think it's certainly possible that there's all sorts of... I mean, people take guns to school. Drinking's like nothing, you know? Like, it's crazy.
I think right now the reason why this whole episode came to play, New York had this huge issue with this drink called Four Loko, and kids were bringing it into school, and they were coming in with hangovers.
Four is in the number four?
The number
it's
four.
It's an energy drink with alcohol. It's illegal now, I think.
It literally tastes like cotton, like the most
like
fruitiest.
Like Red Bull. Yeah, or V or one of those.
It tastes better than Red Bull.
Wow. Right?
So they're definitely marketing to kids, so I think that's...
It's disgusting. It's really nasty.
Well, they did say Four Loko even in the episode. They mentioned
they
it.
They did?
Yeah.
Right, there you go. Okay, thanks, Jess.
So they were drinking Bloody Marys because that's what hangovers are for.
Everyone knows that you go to brunch on a Sunday morning and have a Bloody Mary to take the edge off. and lose the hair of the dog. And that, of course, then was their segue into song three.
Oh, my God.
Blame Artie. It on the Alcohol, Artie. And I love this segue. This was, just, to me, a seamless musical segue from the hallway into the stage.
Yeah.
I did not expect it. You know, I just thought it would be like
that. I want to see it, that clip again.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Wasn't
so
it great
much.
With the, like, club on stage and everyone looking so... So, like, Sam in the booth on his own with the glasses.
Is this him singing? Is this Artie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it was very funny. Everyone looked super... I mean, the thing is, they did all look super cool during this song.
Right. And everyone was already in their sunglasses because they were hungover. So then it just went right into the video and it was like dark on the stage and they all had their sunglasses on still. It was like, this is classic.
It was great.
And Jamie Foxx would be proud.
He would be. And then, of course, Schuster's like so impressed. And then they start talking and he goes, something's up. Rachel being drunk was, I have to say, I thought
Leah. Like, you look so cute in vests.
I thought Leah Michelle did a damn fine job
yeah,
of her drunk acting.
Great.
Actually, none of the drunk acting turned me off.
You know,
drunk acting is so hard, is often so terrible. And none of it was bad at all. So actually, a lot of it was really funny.
I wonder if a little bit was real.
Who knows?
They're of age. Who knows?
They are of age. They are all in their mid-20s. But, you know, this is the point where, that we discussed right at the top of the show, where they talked about, you know, glorifying it as opposed to critiquing it. Where they critiqued it, you know, in the face of having glorified it, which mm-hmm. I think was responsible and important. And I liked it. I had a lot of time for it.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we switch over to the adults, which we never see
yeah,
in these
and
shows.
Yeah, and I love the moment where Will is finding a confidant in Beast.
Yeah,
and I
we
think
see
they have
this
such a nice dynamic together.
Yeah, it's funny. Like it's really been written in nicely. We're seeing their friendship develop. But as you say, there seems to be a really natural chemistry between the two of them.
The two actors
beyond the characters.
Absolutely.
And I love it. And it was we really got to see like some of Beast's personality shine through.
She was really
when they
fun.
Were talking. But just when she first said, "I'm going to take you to Rosalita's Roadhouse." You know, you need to let your hair down and, you know, your tense and exercise is one thing, but on the weekends you got to let your hair down. There was just this kind of sparkle in her eye and it just wasn't the coach for a second.
Right.
And, excuse me, they gave her a chance to do that and I thought that was great.
Well, you don't really know anything about her personal life.
No.
So it was this real, like you saw this humanity about her. I don't know. I really
And I just
liked
think
it.
That she's a great actress, you know?
She yeah,
really,
definitely.
When it called on, she delivers the goods. And we saw the young girl in her come out there, like, mm-hmm. in that's the glisten in the eye. It was really cool. Meantime, Rachel's listening at home.
Are we going to talk about the song that they sing?
Oh, it comes in a minute.
Okay.
You're at the Roadhouse, right?
Yeah,
we'll get there.
Okay.
But first we saw Rachel in her PJs, 80s style.
Right, so
was she listening to Joni Mitchell?
Carole King.
Carole King.
Yeah.
All right, back in your box, Ashton.
I love Carole
sipping,
King.
Sipping, like, you know, rosé.
Right.
Whatever.
I think the label said, like, sparkling lady or something.
Sparkling lady.
Something like that.
And she
but
asked.
But her wine glass was all decorated in puffy paint and
was
jewels.
Hilarious. She asked Blair out with some Dutch courage. Blaine out with some Dutch courage. Thank you.
But her laying on the bed. I mean, I actually just watched 16 Candles this weekend.
Oh, right.
And so it was so similar.
Is that
Molly Ringwald?
Oh, yeah.
They forgot her birthday, and she has a crush on the senior. And
right.
But just even, like, she had a pink phone. I mean, it was so 80s. I couldn't
yeah.
even.
Yeah, it was excellent. I love that. This, of course, leads Kurt and Blaine to have a fight because...
It was an incredible fight.
It was really good. This is, like, really well written, really well acted.
They
Darren Criss turned on
so
a dime.
So many issues to light that everyone thinks and no one talks about.
Yeah.
Like the gay bi thing by two gay teens.
Yeah.
I thought it was such an incredible conversation.
And
that
also
they had.
So great to see Blaine's character, who, you know, he was touched on last week and developed in that conversation, who we've seen with so much confidence and taken to be all like blazing, you know, from the front
right.
and a role model, as Kurt says to him, actually filled with doubt about his identity and his sexuality. And there was one really cool, and I loved how. Blaine, like the argument, he turned it on to Kurt and said, Kurt's like, I had such a tough time, I had to leave because of the threats. And he said, that's what you're doing to me now.
Well, Kurt said, bi is a term gay guys use in high school to hold hands with girls and feel normal.
Yeah, it was a great quote.
Yeah.
probably sometimes true, sometimes not true. Who knows?
Well, it's very interesting because I, in the back of my mind, had had a very similar thought to what Kurt was saying, where I felt like bi is thrown around a lot of times just as...
Bi curious.
Right. And it's like, but you're gay, you know?
Yeah,
or it's
you
meet those things or you just don't believe it, or...
Or some people just like all sorts of different holes.
Right, and, right. But then it is like, well, who are you to judge? You don't know what that person feels, and I think that that was just really...
At the very least, he should be allowed to find out.
He's like, we're in high school.
I've
never had a boyfriend. I don't know. Maybe...
Yeah, and I love that bit. Right at the end of the argument, the camera, it was all over there, you know, it was all over Blaine's left shoulder, Kurt's right, and then the camera slipped behind him, and they crossed the line. I mean, not crossed it, like, they actually, the camera moved to the other side as he kind of won the argument and put it on a different... I don't know, I just noticed that. I hadn't noticed it.
I noticed the people, the couple behind them listening, like the older couple.
Right, yeah. There were just some really different, interesting things that they did. I don't know how intentional they were, but it all seemed to work to me. And I just loved his final line. I'd say bye, but I wouldn't want to make you angry.
I thought that was excellent. Ian, I mean, you can tell that this is his show. It was such a well-crafted conversation, and this is the reason why I want this show to go on and have more episodes like this so people can watch and just understand about people and tolerance.
It's so important, and the market now is so big. And you know, we talked about Glee at the Globes last week, and how much of a pop culture powerhouse it is now, how huge. And you know, you wonder where as it gets bigger and bigger, how close to jumping the shark they get, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do an episode like this, it gives you faith, and it's so important. Now's when they need to hold on to this,
right?
Because the audience is so big, and you can make such a difference. I think to kids seeing
absolutely
this stuff. So I really do. Like,
so that's why, and it's like no guest stars this week. It was just about this issue.
The issue, but
John,
you know,
Stamos wasn't there.
Yeah,
they
I want this to be like every second or third ep.
They
need one like this.
I would
they
like every
one
other.
You need to maintain the every second. I'd be happy with, but like maintain the op. You like be true to the opportunity you've got to really affect change.
Yeah,
I don't think they're shying away from it. You know,
no. But it's like you're on the soapbox.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And then of course we go to a Saddle Ranch. It was shot. It looked like it was shot inside Saddle Ranch here in Los Angeles on Sunset Boulevard.
Douchebag Central.
It's pretty shocking and smelly in there. That bull thing does exist, and you can go and see just heavyset people of all different kinds of backgrounds trying to ride that thing on a Saturday night.
You'll be surprised when it's girls on there, it goes much slower.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys get knocked off in 1 second.
Yeah, and guys don't seem to really be invited up on there all that much either.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Saddle Ranch for you. I loved seeing that. There was just some classic, you know, heavy drinking, and then they get up and sing One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer. I don't know who it's by. But it's
Jesse.
Got that good old country feel.
I want to tell you a story.
And it was great. It was great. Now, here's my question. Do you think they used some... Because Beast had a bit of a sing, second verse. Did they use some digital tuning on her? Because
no, I don't think
so. You think that was her?
Yeah, no, I do think that was her.
Yeah, I just wondered because the other thing is she has such a great gravelly voice that you could almost hide that digital tuning really well if you wanted to. That's a bit mean to think that, but...
Alexis Corner.
Wrote this?
Wrote the song, yes.
There you go.
Never heard it before.
So, hilarious, great, fun scene anyway.
I guess I wish it... I mean, I just don't know this song.
But also...
I wish it had been...
I think it's
like a classic country song that everyone would know.
Yeah,
that would have been fun. I was hoping.
But you got, I mean,
but I'm sure a lot of people like this song because they knew it.
It's true, and it's kind of one you feel like you know, even though it's the first time you heard it.
Yeah, I also think it was interesting that they chose to make it this country themed to show love for the other people in the that listen.
Yeah.
That watch the show.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It is supposed to take place in Ohio.
Yeah,
so
that's right. And I mean, I like that they went out on location. I would like to see more of that.
Yeah.
You know, like a really different environment. And great to see, you know, Schuster and Beast partying together.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kurt goes over to Rachel's house to help her clean up. This seems to me to be 4 days after the party.
That's what I was thinking. How has this party not been cleaned up?
Yeah.
It was Saturday.
I mean,
and
her folks, her parents, her two gay dads are away for a bloody
weekend.
Long time.
I thought that was just the weekend.
Or maybe this, no, well.
President's Day weekend?
I don't know.
I don't
weird.
Know. It was
the,
very
the timing
strange.
Didn't really work. It didn't really matter.
I wonder if that's not when it was supposed to take place in the episode and something with editing there. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Strange. Yeah, it seemed odd.
Yeah.
But they obviously had a talk, and Kurt's there to say, look, you're wasting your time with Blaine. Hands off. Got a little bit catty, but, you know.
A little preachy. We understand what he's saying, and he is right.
He was right.
It ends up to be right, but.
It's
not coming from a place of love. It's coming from a place of jealousy.
He had some killer lines. I mean, I don't know what the first half of it was, but it finished with, you know, you'll end up with only the most flaming of homosexuals.
He's just the first of many gay men you'll end up dating, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was brutal. Rachel took it on the chin and said, "Fine, I'll kiss him sober, and then I'll take you out for coffee."
A steaming
piece of humble pie. I love how Ian like suggests other things, like naughtier things with his writing for this prime time. You know, steaming pile of humble pie. Like,
I think that's what it was. It was just a play on
steaming pile of shit. I mean, you know, like it's like, isn't that what? I mean, that if what did he say? Steaming pile?
She said a steaming piece of humble pie. She was like the bakery of your choice.
All right, I have a dirty, filthy mind.
Yeah,
and
I think she was just trying to be really clever about saying humble pie.
Yeah, I thought if it was steaming piece, I thought it was steaming pile. There's not really any, anyway.
Right.
So be it. Will and Beast come home drunk. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a makeout sesh. It didn't happen.
I know, but it was so sweet.
It was
she kissed him on the lips.
It was just
was like
sweet.
I love you, and he's like right back at you.
It was just. God, it was just
I liked it.
Delightful. It was friendship. It was beautiful friendship, and it was excellent. And they had that whole talk there off their faces, which was, you know, a continuation of the like important issue development about education over restriction, which was, as we've already mentioned, very important. Will then drunk dials.
Wait,
Emma.
First he grades papers.
Oh, yeah, he grades papers drunk or giving
nice
everyone
try.
An A+. Everyone an A+, right?
Yeah, everyone.
That's the kind of guy
Smiley
I am.
Smiley face.
Hilarious. And then he drunk dials Emma.
Wait, did it make you think, like, if any teacher ever graded your paper drunk? I'm sure that happened.
Yeah, I mean, they're only human.
Right.
But I never got A+, so that obviously wasn't that kind of version of it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
I was thinking.
That's what I deserved. So he then drunk dials Emma, comes in the morning and apologizes, but she has no idea what he's talking about, so he's called someone else. We can only...
I saw Sue Sylvester on there. So
yeah,
I
saw Figgins as well. So I thought maybe it was the headmaster.
Like, how was his phone arranged? He had just coworkers, not enough.
Maybe it was a coworker page.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, look. I mean, they were cleaning up the party 5 days after, so you know, these things don't matter in Gleek World. Sue has a crack at him, and he doesn't. He doesn't. What does she ask him? Oh, yeah. She has another crack at him about being an alcoholic. He says, "Go get." And she says, "Right, you're gonna have to. You're forcing my hand, basically."
Mm-hmm.
And we think things might be coming that might be bad. But then I forgot about it. I then forgot about the message. Pretty quickly, which is kind of fun because then when it came back, it was so it had an extra impact.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt and Dad have a fight about sleepovers, of course, because earlier in the ep, as we didn't mention,
he was supposed to show him how to cook.
Yeah, and he walks in and Blaine's in bed, obviously having crashed her after getting wasted. And this, too, is just a fantastic and, I think, realistic and important and good conversation.
Right.
You know? Like, just about, it's not about what you can and can't do.
He was like, it was inappropriate and I need an apology.
Yeah.
Just like, I wouldn't let Finn have a girl sleepover.
Right.
But then,
of course, Kurt, as we said, brought it around and kind of nicely and said, well, I need to, you know, get educated because I might come to you with some questions, Dad.
Right.
Which I thought was quite funny.
But I was glad that he apologized because...
Yeah.
You know. And it was basically like, same rules apply. I don't care if you're gay.
Yeah, it was about respecting your parents' space. You know, you live in their house, you respect their rules, and at least talk to them about stuff before it happens.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, good on you, Glee people. then we come to the final real set piece of the assembly. Everyone's still a little rusty, it seems. Rachel comes out with the rocket fuel and everyone gets...
Oh, my gosh.
Mashed
crumbled
up.
Crumbled Oreo pieces were in
and,
that. That was the most disgusting
and
thing.
Kool-Aid.
And cough syrup.
Oh, God.
And whiskey.
Crazy stuff. And they did Keisha G6, right?
Yeah. No. TikTok.
TikTok. Whatever. I don't know her
you just
song.
Melded, like... two songs.
Didn't they start with the G6 song and then go into a different one? I thought it might have been a mash.
No.
No. Okay. Anyway, it was Kesha. And
Kesha.
Whatever. It's my accent. Here it is.
I was like, is he saying geisha?
Is this one?
Yeah.
Kesha.
Key, this is dollar a... sign, ha.
Yeah, this is, you know, it does. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is it.
You're right, I'm wrong.
You work out to this song, I know you do.
Maybe. So this was terrific. I loved this dance. I loved that they put Britney at the center of it.
I know. The only thing I didn't love was her voice was so altered.
They overdid the digital thing.
Right. It's like they're performing at an assembly. It's not going to sound like that.
I know. I get that you can do it a bit and that it's going to happen. But it's, I just think it was necessary. It distracted too much.
I guess she really isn't a strong singer. We've heard her sing a little bit.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be to sing this song. But I just thought it was a little bit too much. But I love her.
But to do it with Mercedes as well, come on. But I guess they just made it part of the style of that super uber.
See, I didn't even think that
pop.
Mercedes had it that much. I feel like they should have done all or none. And I thought it was just much more on Britney and not anyone else.
But the point, the dance, I mean, Heather's dancing, as always, is just so damn good.
Yeah.
So damn fine. And then you see Schuster going, noticing something might be up, and then she vomits.
The whole time she's like telling Rachel, I don't feel well, and she's like, just keep powering through.
I know, and then they spewed, and it was blue.
Well, it looked a little bit like silver because they drank it. It was bright purple because of the syrup, the cough syrup, and the Kool-Aid.
That was hilarious.
That was fun.
And a good way of like...
And then Santana threw up.
And a good way of like making it that color, like if it was real vomit, like really vomity looking, they might not have got away with it. It's more
Absolutely
disgusting,
not.
You know what I mean? It's
it looked
clever.
Like an artistic piece.
That's right. So that was hilarious. And then, of course, we cut to the next day and they're all feeling sheepish. And Sue... takes over, like
there's an announcement
and it was just so well done. Talked about Schuster's alcoholic teen vomit fetish and plays the tape that he left her about Emma's got the gloves on. She's all, oh my god, I feel like there was a pang. Was there a pang? Did you see a pang? Did she pang?
Emma?
Did Emma pang after
think
Will?
She was
or was
horrified.
She like, no, because she's implicated?
I think she was just sad. I think she's kind of getting over him.
Yeah, certainly that's the way she's painting it. They're looking for a house. But this was like one of the most like juicy moments, I think, in Glee ever. It was crazy. I loved it.
How about when Will was saying he was going to stop drinking and the kids were like, what else do you have? And he was like, I have plenty of stuff in my life.
If you don't drink, what do you have to live for? And before that,
really saw his loneliness now, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Emma was back, and now she's looking for a house. She's married. She asked if he was dating anyone. He said no. And she's like, you really should start.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that line. That is so racist. What was that about? I can't remember.
The pot calling the kettle black.
That was quite funny.
Britney turns to Mercedes.
To Mercedes. Like, she's like, I'm with you, sister. That was very funny. So Schuster gets out the pledge forms and says that he's going to be there to call them if they do fall off the wagon.
Which is amazing. I had one of my best friends, her mother was so incredible. And obviously she didn't want us to drink or anything like that. But always, she's like, I will pick you up anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
I won't be mad.
Yeah.
Always call me. And it was knowing that was always an option. And she would take 10 kids home.
It's a two-edged sword because when the kids do it, they'll use it. But at least you know, I was always too afraid to do that with my folks, but it means that they didn't know.
Yeah, I know. No way.
All the time. And I, you know, got through it, so I don't know. Anyway, but then, of course... Rachel, we have our final moment is Humble Pie Central, except Rachel eats it, kind of, not really. She goes up and she gives...
You think she's going to be devastated.
You think she's going to be devoed because Blaine is like,
devoed.
I am so gay. I'm so gay.
Thank you.
And then she has her reason to like to write a song.
I know. I can't wait to hear the song.
Oh, it's like you know, it's like Ross in Friends, except the opposite.
It was just so funny that she was like, I just had a relationship and he turned out to be gay. A relationship.
Yeah, I know.
They kissed during Spin the Bottle.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was very funny. So a great ep. And then, I don't know, I just loved it.
Then they get called into Figgins' office.
Oh, that's right, and they get away with it.
Yeah.
They get away with
Which was such a... it was so interesting.
I didn't expect it.
It was a twist.
It really was. Like, when I saw them vomit on each other, and I was like, okay.
And Sue also called them out in the announcement as well.
Yeah. And when I first saw the blue vomit, and Brittany said, don't drink,
drink responsibly.
Hilarious. I thought, okay, they might be able to get away with this. But then after Sue's thing, I was like, they can't. But just look, the whole thing was the setup. I didn't expect Figgins to go for it, and that was fun.
I know. And that was such a nice thing where, and then Will was like, you didn't get in trouble, but, and that's where the pledges came in. Into play.
So really, 10 out of 10 for the people at Glee. This was a great episode.
Well done, Ian. I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Maybe we should try and get him in sometime. I'm sure he'd be up for it.
Yeah, if you see him again.
Yeah, if I see him again.
Be like, hey, I'm a Gleek.
Yeah.
I watch you every week and talk about it.
Yeah. It'd be great. all right. Well, that was the breakdown of the show, ladies and gents. Let's go to commercial. We'll be back with your news and gossip.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call at 347-855-8269.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Get in on the AfterBuzz.
347-855-8269. Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
Listen on iTunes.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
Find us on Facebook.
Your husband or your best friend?
Follow us on Twitter.
And then she's trying to kill him, so it justifies it. I'm like, oh, now it makes sense.
And visit us at AfterBuzzTV.com.
The wig.
Oh, come
let that wig come off, baby.
No, what?
Boardwalk Empire.
Desperate Housewives.
Glee.
Gossip Girl.
Breaking Bad.
Mad Men.
True Blood.
The Walking Dead.
Big Love.
Jersey Shore.
The Oscars.
Celebrity Rehab.
The Emmys.
If it's hot, you can bet we'll be buzzing about it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Diana Agron, who plays Quinn, and her co-star Alex Pettyfer from the movie I Am Number 4, decided to part ways last week after dating less than a year. Diana recently moved out of their Los Angeles home, which she shared with Alex. While no further details are yet known, the split comes just weeks after it was the alleged couple were engaged. Just last month, Alex said of his girlfriend, quote, "She's an amazing woman, and she's got this old-school classic movie star elegance to her. She's amazing." Meanwhile, Diana recently admitted she welcomed the differences in the couple's relationship, as without them, dating would be, quote, boring. The two were initially paired up by the director of I Am Number 4, J.D. Caruso.
There you go.
There's been more news on that Diana's saying that Alex is a psycho stalker, and she's afraid of him, and he's super violent, and that he's threatened her.
Whoa.
That's what I read today.
So the publicists have given them some nice lines there, but in actual fact, maybe it's a little messier, and maybe there were some co-stars involved.
Normally you don't say that kind of stuff, so I'm actually surprised at that. Is being said.
Did she tweet it, or was it like as a release?
I mean, it's like a close friend says that Diana's scared for her life and that he's making threats. So
tabloids can make that stuff up.
Yeah.
And less than a year and they were living together, huh?
Yeah. It all sounds a bit
crazy.
I reckon maybe there might have been a third party involved.
Ooh.
Maybe another I Am Number 4 co-star. Who knows? I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know anything.
Well, on the plus side, I Am Number 4 came in at number 2 at the box office, earning just $19.5 million. Although industry forecasters predicted the film would lead the weekend. Beating out the sci-fi adventure was Liam Neeson's action thriller Unknown, which took in $21.7 million. Critics contemplate the previews focusing on the supernatural boy instead of the relatable normal girl, saying it wasn't cool enough for the boys and wasn't romantic enough for the girls.
The trailer blew.
Yeah, $19.5 million is not enough for a movie of that scope. I mean, what was the budget on that? $100 million?
I'm sure.
$200 million? I mean,
you have, like, hot girls in it, and the trailer was cut together so poorly. I guess because the film probably just isn't good, but
I've heard it's terrible. I had a friend, casting director, a friend of mine, Scott Boland, he went and saw it last week at an early screening, and he said it a number of different times. People just openly laughed, you know, not when it was supposed to be a comedy. Mm-hmm. And some of the acting was questionable.
I kind of feel like they tried to go Twilight with it.
Yeah.
That tried to make it that epic, and it
Who knows? I haven't seen it, but anyway, onwards.
Well, it looks like Rachel Berry wasn't kidding when she said New Directions needed some original material for regionals. The next Glee soundtrack will feature two original songs, Loser Like Me, a pop confection from the super producer Max Martin, who's infamous for working with Britney Spears and Pink, and Get It Right, which is a Lea Michele sung ballad. The album will be released March 8th, with the songs airing in March 15th's episode.
I wonder if that's
so
Nationals.
Two weeks?
Probably then.
2 weeks from now?
Oh, that's the next new episode.
15th? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's in 2 weeks.
We don't is it? Yeah,
March,
it must.
In 2 weeks.
Oh my god, we're going to be in mid-March.
Oh, what's happened to the year? Where's it gone? I'm so old! Next.
Well, speaking of regionals, Kathy Griffin will reportedly appear as a character named Tammy Jean, described by creator Murphy as a, quote, recent Tea Party candidate and homeschooler, a Sarah Palin type. Murphy says that Tammy Jean was created to add a Christian character into the Glee mix, adding another layer of mayhem to an already soapy mix.
And how brilliant that Kathy Griffin's doing that.
I don't know if she's going to be able to pull that off.
Why? Why? Because she's so on
she's
the other.
She's so point. Liberal.
Yeah, but
she's
that's isn't
insane.
That what's?
It might be a little. I feel you. It might be
it
a
might
little
be hard
too
to buy
catty.
Yeah. A little bit.
Oh, we'll wait and see. I mean, the whole show's so liberal leaning anyway. Right. I mean,
she'll do it. Yeah,
it's really. It's. I mean, ultimately, his intention is to make tea parties look stupid. Kathy Griffin will do that.
It is. Right, it right. is exciting.
I'm happy to see that anyway.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it looks like Love is in the Air from Matthew Morrison, who plays Will Schuster, and Olivia Munn. The two were spotted kissing and holding hands recently. Morrison and the geek fantasy girl who stars on the new NBC show Perfect Couples gave Rangers fans an eyeful this past weekend with a ringside PDA session for all to see at Madison Square Garden.
What do you think? Do you think people intentionally do that when they're getting photographed?
Absolutely.
They're like, look at us. It's so great. We're getting
maybe sometimes they do, and maybe sometimes they really just are happy to be together and they forget. Everyone is watching them at every moment.
Yeah.
If they're at a basketball game.
It's pretty full on.
I was having coffee
yesterday on Fairfax at this new place. Great coffee place. And I was telling you, what's her name was there from Red Riding Hood?
Amanda
Seyfried. Just sitting at the front doing some, obviously talking with two ladies about getting some interior decorating done. And just sitting there.
Because you were listening.
No, you could just, it was all out on the thing as I walked past. And my girlfriend and I were sitting like next to the window, right next to them. Yeah. So I quickly palmed her off. I was like, hey, Amanda, over here. No, not at all. Hey, Katie, you're great. The Paps are just standing, like there's a little kind of outdoor courtyard at the front of it. And they're just standing there behind the corner, just like for 20 minutes, taking photos. And
how interesting.
It's so like it's so boring, but nothing happened and they just stood there. It's kind of like it's creepy stalking stuff.
Yeah.
But eventually, I guess if it's there all the time, you might just forget about it as long as they're not in that kind of proximity. What's last up?
Well, Cord Overstreet, who plays Sam, celebrated his birthday in style over the weekend by partying in Las Vegas. The actor, who turned 22 last Thursday, danced the night away at the Tao nightclub in the Venetian Resort and Casino, where he was presented with a guitar-shaped birthday cake.
Sure he was. And so, like, when you're like that, you go to those places and they pay you to turn up.
Yeah.
You don't pay for anything. You bring your friends.
They
you
pay
all get
for the
free.
Party.
They
yeah.
pay for the party just because of...
And they promote it as your birthday party to get people to show up.
It's
what a life.
Dust right. must really be difficult. All right.
Well, happy birthday, Cord.
Happy birthday.
And that's your AfterBuzz TV Glee news and gossip for the week of February 22nd.
All right. So that then brings us to.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we saw on. Oh, yeah, I like that. That Gwyneth's coming back.
Yeah. No, so. Wait, what is that in 2 weeks?
We have a week off. They're having a week off.
Right. But that's not the 15th, so that has to be 3 weeks.
It must be 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because it's only the 22nd today.
Yeah.
It's in 3 weeks. And, yeah, Gwyneth's coming back. And we're doing We're doing a sex ed episode.
Hooray.
Which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be fun with her back. And also, she's going to kiss Will.
Oh, my God. He's so lucky.
So it's perfect. It set it up because it's like he's so lonely this week and he is... Nothing.
Yeah, and what a bummer. What a bummer you get to nail Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. That is just so rough.
Work is hard.
I'm looking
sometimes.
Forward to seeing her come back. I'm looking forward to seeing them handle the sex ed app with the same dexterity, I trust.
I can't wait for the songs with her. She's the singer now.
That's great. Well, ladies and gents and gleeks out there, that of course brings us to an end for AfterBuzz TV for tonight. Glee Season 2, Episode 14, Blame It on the Alcohol. Hope you had a good weekend and didn't blame it on the rain too much.
Oh, he'll be here for another minute.
Oh, and then this same time next week. It was very rainy, but it was a great weekend, and that was a great Glee show. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, Buzz. Thanks, people. Join us next week for more of this. Well, not next week, and it'll be the week after. In the meantime, enjoy the Oscars. Go King's Speech. Go Christian Bale.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time on AfterBuzz TV.
For producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.